is going.
Okay, good evening. We're about to start this evening's Berkeley City Council meeting. If people can please take their seats. And Vice Mayor Weingraff, are you on Zoom?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Berkeley City Council for Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. And the first order of business is roll call. I'd like to ask the city clerk to please call the roll.
Councilmember Kastner-Wani?
Here.
Kaplan?
Present.
Bartlett is absent. Tragub?
Present.
Han?
Present.
Weingraff?
Present.
Lunapara?
Here.
Humbert?
Present.
And Mayor Aragui?
Present.
Okay.
Okay, a quorum is present. Thank you. As we begin our meeting tonight, I'd like to read a few announcements. First, the City Council met in closed session yesterday, September 30th, 2024, and took the following actions. Regarding item one, the City Council met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2 and provided direction to outside counsel and approved a stipulated settlement of permanent disability with an award of lifetime future medical care, or in the alternative by compromise and release, with a release of future medical care as to the workers' compensation numbers 80J1939-1581 and 80J15774154. The City Council also met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D2 and provided direction to outside counsel and approved a stipulated settlement, a permanent disability with an award of lifetime future medical care as to a workers' compensation matter, case numbers 80J1125193, 80J1435948, and 80J1908794. Lastly, the City Council met in closed session and provided direction to outside counsel and approved a stipulated settlement of permanent disability with an award of lifetime future medical care, or in the alternative by compromise and release, as to a workers' compensation matter, WCAB case numbers 80J1525-8918 and 80J1525-9424. Next, I want to welcome everyone to tonight's meeting of the Berkeley City Council. To allow for full participation by all members of the community and to ensure that important city business is able to be conducted, we ask that all attendees conduct themselves in an orderly manner and respect the rights of others participating in the meeting. Please be aware that the City Council's rules of decorum prohibit the disruption of the orderly conduct of the City Council meeting. A summary of these rules is available in the one-page handout on the table in the rear of our boardroom. Disruptive behavior includes but is not limited to shouting, making disruptive noises, creating or participating in a physical disturbance, speaking out of turn or in violation of applicable rules, preventing or attempting to prevent others who have the floor from speaking, i.e. disrupting people who are speaking, preventing others from observing the meeting, entering into or remaining in an area of the meeting room that is not open to the public, or approaching the council dais without consent. We ask that you observe these rules so all members of the community can observe and fully participate in tonight's City Council meeting. Thank you. And as we begin as well, if anyone would like to speak to an item not on tonight's City Council agenda, please fill out a speaker card. Okay, so we'll now proceed to the next order of business, which is ceremonial matters. And thank you. Before we do that, and it is appropriate that we do this before we go to ceremonial matters, I'd like to read our land acknowledgement. And several years ago, the City Council passed a policy to read our land acknowledgement at the beginning of our City Council meeting. And so it's my pleasure to read this land acknowledgement, particularly given just in a few weeks, we will be commemorating Indigenous Peoples Day in the City of Berkeley. The City of Berkeley recognizes that the community that we live in was built on the territory of Hushun, the ancestral unceded land of the Checheno-speaking Ohlone people, the ancestors and descendants of the sovereign Verona Band of Alameda County. This land was and continues to be of great importance to all of the Ohlone tribes and descendants of the Verona Band. As we begin our meeting tonight, we acknowledge and honor the original inhabitants of Berkeley, the documented 5,000-year history of a vibrant community at the West Berkeley Shell Mound, and the Ohlone people who continue to reside here in the East Bay. We recognize that Berkeley's residents have and continue to benefit from the use and occupation of this unceded stolen land since the City of Berkeley's incorporation in 1878. As stewards of the laws regulating the City of Berkeley, it is not only vital that we recognize the history of this land, but we also recognize that the Ohlone people and other indigenous people are present members of Berkeley and other East Bay communities still to this day. The City of Berkeley will continue to build relationships with the Lejean and other tribes and create meaningful actions to uphold the intention of this land acknowledgement. So we'll go back to ceremonial matters, and we have one proclamation that we will be presenting tonight, and that is in recognition and commemoration of Indigenous Peoples Day in the City of Berkeley. And I know we have members of the Indigenous Peoples Day powwow committee here tonight, and if you can please join us up at the podium, and I will be reading this proclamation and presenting it to you on behalf of the City of Berkeley. And just say that this is the 32nd year that the City of Berkeley has recognized Indigenous Peoples Day. We were the first city in the United States to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. And I think today's recognition is all the more significant given the action we took just a few months ago to acquire and to rematriate the West Berkeley Shell Mound to the Lejean tribe to ensure its continued stewardship by the First People who still live in the East Bay community. But we know that there are many tribes, many people of indigenous background. I have indigenous roots myself. And so we're really proud to be able to recognize Indigenous Peoples Day and to continue our efforts to recognize and celebrate our rich indigenous culture and history here in the East Bay. So I'm proud to read this proclamation tonight. The last time I'll read as Mayor Berkeley. Whereas the year 2024 marks the 32nd anniversary of Indigenous Peoples Day in the City of Berkeley, in commemoration of 532 years of resistance and renewal of Native cultures in the face of political and cultural repression. And whereas the Indigenous Peoples Day Committee, a community group of local Native people and supporters, have once again organized the annual celebration with an Indigenous Peoples Day powwow in Indian Market in Martin Luther King Civic Center Park on Saturday, October 12th. And whereas the Indigenous culture flourishing here since the time of the immemorial was a sustainable, peaceful culture based on cooperation among neighbors, on respect for the land and for all the creatures living on it. And this indigenous culture was disrupted and destroyed here, as in almost all parts of this hemisphere, and yet it still survives. And whereas the Indigenous Peoples Day powwow and Indian Market has brought greater understanding to the people of Berkeley regarding Native cultures and the enormous contributions they make and continue to make to world culture. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, just yet again, the mayor of the City of Berkeley, to hereby proclaim Monday, October 14th, 2024, as Indigenous Peoples Day in the City of Berkeley. We recognize and encourage all members of our community to attend the 32nd annual Indigenous Peoples Day powwow on Saturday, October 12th, starting at 10 a.m. in Martin Luther King Jr. Civic Center Park. And our City Council extends its sincere gratitude to everyone who's organized this annual celebration, and our sincere gratitude to the Native people on behalf of the City of Berkeley in recognition of the Indigenous care for this land and in honor of Indigenous culture and philosophy, which is needed now more than ever for our planet to survive. So thank you for being here. I'm happy to present this proclamation, give you an opportunity to say a few words and announce the event. Thank you so much for your ongoing work in organizing this commemoration.
Maro, Mr. Mayor, that is a thank you in our language. Tino Barrichello, Chohojef Gados, Estemisco Girois. It's Walge Malegaros. My name is Gino Barrichello. I'm a member of the Muscogee Nation of Oklahoma, and I'm the coordinator for Indigenous Peoples Day here in Berkeley. I've been the coordinator probably going on about 15, 16 years. So I've seen a lot of the faces here on the council, and it's good to see new faces, see the mayor support us. We want to say thank you for your continued support. We wanted to welcome everybody to come and be a part of our celebration this year on October the 12th, Saturday. It's a free event. It's open to the public, family friendly, no drugs, no alcohol. So we're out there to celebrate our continued survival and contributions to here at the East Bay. So I wanted to say thank you for your continued support. My cousin here has a ceremonial song she'd like to sing. So Artlin, I'm going to welcome you up.
Tiantamu, Tiashifkro, Artlin. Gino is my cousin. I'm from the Seminole Tribe of Florida, and we are cousins. This is our cousin. We're going to sing the Muskogee National Anthem, really.
A hymnal.
It's a hymnal called Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Eikakris, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Eikakris, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Kusako gime mana okis hello hallelujah me kusako gime mana okis hello hallelujah Eikakris, hallelujah, hallelujah, Eikakris, hallelujah, ekinako gime manapokis. Hallelujah, ekinako gime manapokis. Hallelujah. So in this hymn, and there are more lyrics, the beginning is that we are all singing together. So at the stone grounds or at church, when you call, you call into, we are all singing together. The other verses are, we are calling the children, we are calling the grandparents, we are calling the animals, the wind, and all of our relatives. So, Mado, thank you, Shunabisha.
Mado, hope to see you all there at our celebration, October the 12th. Mado.
Get a picture with the mayor.
Yeah, that'll wear
on the mayor. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Awesome. Good.
Okay. Thank you so much. See you.
See
you later.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So that completes ceremonial matters, and I'll now turn over to the city manager, Paul Bunig, and ask if he has any comments for the Council of the Public this evening.
No comments tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. So I'd like to ask unanimous consent that we reorder the non-agenda public comment to go first to public comment from employee unions, which we conduct the first meeting of each month. And Mr. Clerk, with any?
Yeah, there's Johnson, this Senate Goldsmith on the attendee side.
Okay, so I've been informed by the city clerk that there is a representative from SEIU 10-1 PTRLA CSU who would like to address the council as part of the public comment for employee union comment time. And so we'll go to Jocelyn DeSena Goldsmith now.
Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, and City Manager. Welcome. My name is Jocelyn Goldsmith DeSena. I am a City of Berkeley worker in public health, and I'm an officer of the COPE coordinator in SEIU 1021 CSU PTRLA chapter. If you'll forgive me, I don't really have very prepared remarks because I've been working all day and I want to remark about something that happened late last night. The Peace and Justice Committee had passed a ceasefire resolution, which has been, you know, a long time in the making. And this is the position of my local SEIU 1021 to urge public officials to pass similar resolutions in this spirit. Our local represents over 60,000 workers in Northern California. And I know I sound like a broken record, and you all have heard me say this every month for almost a year, or some of my siblings saying a similar thing. But in December, our local passed a resolution for ceasefire, humanitarian aid, and the end to the occupation in Palestine. And part of that resolution states that we will urge elected officials to do the same. And so I am here tonight to uplift the passing of ceasefire resolution by the Peace and Justice Commission last night, and to urge the agenda committee to put this on the agenda at the next meeting. I really sincerely hope that we do not see this get tied up in bureaucracy and needlessly delayed. It's been almost a year of genocide, and our community is grieving not only for all of this horrible loss of human life in Israel and Palestine and Lebanon and Syria, et cetera, but also for the process that we're grieving for, the process that we've been waiting for our elected officials to follow, as pretty much all of the cities around us have managed to do. So this is an opportunity to listen to the commissioners that you yourselves have appointed and entrusted to do this hard work of going through a democratic process, which they have done. And so please take this recommendation and place it on the agenda for the next City Council meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Mr. Clerk, were there any other officially designated representatives of City of Berkeley employee unions that had requested to speak tonight?
None that I've been made aware of.
I'll just do one last call. If there are any officially designated representatives of City of Berkeley employee unions who'd like to address the council as part of our monthly public comment period for employee unions, please raise your virtual hand, or if you're in the room, come forward. And I don't see anyone else. Okay, so that completes that public comment period. We'll now proceed to public comment on non-agenda matters. Persons will be selected to address matters not on the City Council agenda. The way we'll conduct this public comment period is the clerk has randomly selected five speaker cards for in-person speakers, and then we'll go to five speakers on Zoom. So I will now ask attendees on Zoom, if you would like to speak to an item that's not on tonight's City Council agenda, please raise your virtual hand now. And if there are not five people on Zoom, we'll select more people for in-person speakers. So once again, if you would like to speak to an item not on the agenda, please raise your virtual hand. Depending on the number of speakers, if there are five or more speakers, each speaker will be allotted 1 minute. If there's five or less, there's 2 minutes. This is to address anything that's not on tonight's agenda. If you're here to speak to an item on the consent calendar or the action calendar, we look forward to your comments later on when we get to the consent and action items. So, Mr. Clerk, if you can please read the names selected.
Okay. We have Paul Kiloha Blake, Andrea Henson, Ede, Pastor Derek, and Ian Cordova Morales.
Okay. Any of those names were called, please come forward in no particular order. Looks like we have two on Zoom. And whoever would like to start, thank you. And please state your name for the record.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Ian Cordova Morales. I am the president and lead advocate of the organization Where Do We Go, based here in Berkeley, Mr. Ben Bartlett's district number 3. I'm here to bring up an incident that happened today over at the protest encampment that was established on Saturday over at Old City Hall in the Miller Shirek building. A member of the city manager's staff, Miss Okia Vance Dozier, came into the encampment and began kicking tents, opening up tents with the zippers, and taking pictures of everybody's property inside. I know that she did this because I was there. I know that she did this because she did it to me. She took pictures of my property without my permission. She violated my privacy. And we have the whole thing on video. And I really think that the city council should, and Mr. Paul Budenhagen, who I'm super happy to have here as our new city manager, I hope that you guys can reach out and talk to us instead of sending city employees to assault our tents and our property. We are always happy to talk. You know that because we come to weekly meetings with Peter Radu and the rest of the city discussing homelessness issues and how to best help people. What happened today was completely irresponsible, and I sincerely hope that it was not done with the permission of Paul Budenhagen or Peter Radu. Thank you.
Thank you. So you have alleged that happened. I haven't seen the video. I would like to see it. If you could please send it to me
now. Yeah.
Well, we are in a meeting, so okay. If you can email me, I would like to follow up on this. Thank you.
Same email.
Okay. So, Mr. Clerk, there are two people who raise their hand to speak on Zoom. Before we go to Ms. Henson, are there any other attendees on Zoom wishing to speak to an item not on the agenda? Please raise your hand now. Okay. So, Mr. Clerk, can we select three other cards?
That's all the cards.
Those are all the cards.
Yeah,
okay.
We had five.
Okay, but we'll take Carol Morosovic though. But let's go to Ms. Henson. I know you're waiting.
Okay, Paul Kiloha Blake is going to cede his time to me. Is that correct? Okay. So my name is Andrea Henson. I'm a civil rights attorney in the area, and I did see the video. Mario Savio said, there is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies on the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. I've seen the video. Okia used law enforcement tactics. As long as I've been doing this, I've never seen police go to tents and kick to see who was inside. Normally you would say, hello, is someone there? This particular protest encampment was formed to give people who are unhoused the ability to express their opinions, to allow them freedom of speech so that their things would not be taken. What we found since we've been there are people from all over downtown are coming, utilizing our tents. They're eating, they're talking. This type of behavior chills free speech. This is not what Berkeley stands for. I sung that song and I said, this is the end. If we're going to have employees of the city go through our encampments, especially when people are trying to have freedom of expression, especially when they're already being dehumanized, where you can zip open the fly and open it up and take pictures inside. This is the beginning of the end, and we must look at this. Also, I'm doing investigations, and if she did in fact kick that tent and people were inside, that's a battery. That's a misdemeanor. And I plan to fully advise them to take advantage of all of their administrative and legal rights, because that is not what we stand for here in Berkeley, and I won't allow it. Thank you.
Okay, Ede, and then Pastor Derek, and then Ms. Rosick wants to speak.
Which microphone? This one or this? Which one? This one? Okay. Well, good to see you all. Just before I came here, I heard the horrible news, over 1,000 rockets Iran sent to Israel. And that is horrible news. This is a whole trick Netanyahu wanted to do from the beginning. He wanted to get America to go in war with Iran. That would be the end of the world. I have been fighting for humanity. I don't care who is Jewish, who is Christian. It is all fairy tale from ancient Egypt. I need to have peace in the Middle East. This is everywhere. Biden had been the most genocidal president this country has. His action in Ukraine, he could have Biden wanted Ukraine to be admitted to NATO. That's easy. Now, as far, this is, I've been in Berkeley 59 years plus. This is the hottest day I have seen, and we have a problem. We have human greed playing the biggest part of it. We need to do something. I don't think that I handed you a pamphlet. I don't think our, well, too late for us, but our kids, grandkids, are going, probably won't have life beyond the end of this century. Please work for peace. Netanyahu said that whole thing to keep his ass from going to prison. Both Hamas and Hezbollah were cohort with him. How do you go fight a big country with a big army? They are cohort. They let him do that. Wake up. Wake up. I met Mario Savio. I was in the march against Vietnam War where 60,000 beautiful American kids got killed. Over 2 million Vietnamese got killed. 2 million Iraq got killed. We need to put our money in education. That's the thing about Newsom budget.
Thank you.
We need to put the money in education. In healthcare,
thank you.
In social security, it's top war everywhere. We're dealing with one stupid idiot in the country. Good to see you again. As far as a matter of hand, get us start the business. We're in business. Get our place in Durant Avenue as soon as we can. We mean it. We really mean it. As I said, willing to pay 5 years in advance. Don't get political division in the city
we
council.
Need to Mr. Abdallah, we need to move to the next speaker.
5 seconds. Let us get everybody act as good friends as we are.
Thank
I did more for Berkeley than anybody else. Thank you all. Okay. Good to see you again.
Okay. Our last speaker card is Pastor Derek. And then we'll go to Ms. Morosevic.
Good evening. I'm back again from the last meeting where I shook city manager's hand, and thank you for that handshake. On terms that you all would contact us to rectify, not only the $25,000 over the last 25 years that wasn't paid to the Black Repertory Theater, but just some type of camaraderie. We're on a kill corner where young people are killing one another, and we have employable skills training and entrepreneur development. We have all kind of great things lined up with a bunch of professionals that I'm here with today, and to no avail. You gave me your word, and I still believe you're a man of honor. And so I'm waiting on that handshake that you did publicly. There's a contract for the money that's owed, and that hasn't been honored thus far. And again, you gave your word, and we hadn't heard from you. I'm looking forward to working in conjunction with this council, so that we can do something. Like I say again, Black Lives Matter. Do they matter when it comes to funding? Because the last city council meeting before last, another organization, Caucasian, came up and got $100+ thousand, And the Black Repertory hasn't received not one dime, and it's kind of disheartening. So I'm still looking forward to your honor, the handshake. I'd be willing to even shake your hand again today if it means as much to you, if it means as much to me it does to you, or vice versa, however you say it. Thank you for your time, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys ASAP, according to you being a week late. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, your card wasn't selected, but I'll give you some time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Going to say just real quick, good evening, council members. My name is Daniel Cooper. I serve a number of nonprofits across the Bay Area, including Griot Theater Company in Marin. Pastor Derek Mann just raised this issue to me about Black Repertory Theater, how important it is. And I just want to ask you, what was the last time you heard the story of Black life in its fullness, in its complexity, in its beauty, right? And I'm not talking about like the Hollywood, just glossed over Hollywood version of it. I'm talking about a raw, authentic story, right? Black theater is not just a form of entertainment. It's a lifeline to the past. It's a voice for the present. It's a vision for the future. It allows stories of resilience, joy, struggle, triumph to be told in a way that resonates in a deeply human level. It gives Black actors, playwrights, directors, youth, adults, an opportunity to express and tell stories that will be lost culturally. There's no way we cannot support Black theater, Black arts, Black culture, especially in a place where we say Black Lives Matter and Berkeley stands on diversity, they stand on inclusion, right? It's a Black Repertory Theater Company. It helps youth, young people, creatives, playwrights, right? Costume design. This is something we have to support. I don't really understand how, you know, we're at this point where one white organization is being funded hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the Black organization is getting nothing. You know, we can put the Black Lives Matter banner up there, but like, come on, we got to put a little, it can't just be teeth, you know? I mean, in lip service, we have to actually put money behind it. And so okay. Black theater, it's important. Thank you for your time today, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. So we only take 10, I'm going to let one more person from your group speak because we have another speaker and we have people on Zoom. And then I want to address this to let you all know what the status of this issue is.
I just like a couple of seconds. I keep seeing the sign up that it says Black Lives Matter. To the city council and the mayor, do really Black Lives Matter? I'm Akili Rafiki Ashanti from the Ashanti tribe here in America. And I see you just celebrated a tribe, an Indian tribe. I applaud that. Why do we go to the back of the line? I ask you to consider the Black Repertory Theater.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming today. Ms. Morozovic, before you speak, Ms. Morozovic, can you wait 1 second? So really want to thank you all for coming today and continuing to come to support the Black Repertory Theater. We are in real property negotiations with the Black Rep. And so our staff are the ones who will be and have been communicating with Sean and the team at the Black Rep. But I want to turn over to the city manager to see if he has an update he wants to provide on this. We met in closed session. We obviously can't disclose what we talked about. It's in closed session, but we are committed to working to advance negotiations to keep the Black Rep thriving in Berkeley. Mr. City Manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. The city's attorney office has been in touch with the attorney's office representing the Black Rep, and the staff from Public Works with the city attorney's office is putting together a draft document for review of your team based on the authority that the city council has given us, and that draft will be shared with you all this week. Yes. All right.
Is it going to close? If I may, is it going to close?
We're not having a back and forth here.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments. We provided an update. I appreciate you being here. We need to move to the next speaker. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you all.
Yeah.
It's been over a year since City Council approved the Options Encampment Wellness Team. They're still not out, and it's waiting for the city to implement it. This is through the Mental Health Services Act monies, but they're not the only body entrusted with going to the encampments to provide mental health services. There's the full service homeless outship, full homeless services partnership through Berkeley Mental Health that expressly states in their 3-year plan that they do encampment work, working with people in the encampments. But it's not happening. This is a plan that is approved by you, is approved by the state. Where I live on the corner, there's a man in a tent, and he's been there for several months. I go by, give him food, talk to him, and he's Oakland-born, Berkeley-raised. He moved from elsewhere in South Berkeley because he was living in the alley, he said, behind the Sacramento Grocery, and it became too dangerous for him, so he wanted to be on a corner where he felt safe. Again, I regularly engage with him. That's what people need. And then this morning when I was going to the bus stop, I noticed a man walk down the street and aggressively kick his tent. And I want to conclude with saying the Homeless Commission passed or brought to you, which you unanimously passed, to document hate incidents against the unhoused persons. These are hate incidents, and I would hope that city staff is held to a higher standard. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to take our three speakers on Zoom now, and we'll go first to Kelly Hammergren.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have a long prepared statement. I just want to thank everyone who came last night to the Peace and Justice Commission. You know, people were really well behaved and spoke from their hearts. And I'm delighted that we were able to pass the resolution. And I want to thank the three council members whose commissioners voted for the resolution. And I'll be writing about the others in my next activist diary. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker is Hugh Mitchell. Hugh Mitchell, you should now be able to speak.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Very good. I'm speaking on behalf of the Black Rep. I'm really confused to the process that's going on, and you're saying that you met behind closed doors and you're going to let us know tomorrow or sometimes this week. Am I correct?
I don't want to get into a back and forth.
I'm not going to do back and forth.
I'm happy to answer your questions after your comments.
Okay. Well, my comment is this. I don't understand why the wait is so long. And everybody keeps talking about Black Lives Matter. The issue here is not, it's about our history. It's about things that we've worked for. And then people who are new to this area. I've lived in this area for 72 years. I'm a Berkeley born and raised person. And I just need to know, when are we going to get our just dues? When are we going to know? I don't want a back and forth. I want the Black Rep Theater to be solid and to be established without any more fighting or confusion or anything or time wasted. We need to have this funded now just to resolve it. I can't understand what the problem is. That's all I want to know. What is the issue? Why aren't we moving forward?
Thank you.
Don't want to back and forward. Thank you so much.
And I'm happy to address that. Again, which is, this is a city property. And so the Black Rep is leasing city property. We are negotiating a lease with the Black Rep to ensure their long-term use of that important facility. We want to ensure that they can remain there. We met in executive session because it involved real property. We voted to give direction to our staff to negotiate a lease, long-term lease with the Black Rep. Our staff will be in touch with Mr. Scott and their attorneys to provide a proposal, and we hope we can move forward and land this so we can resolve this issue and ensure their long-term use and continue cultural programming at that location. We'll go to Blair Beekman.
Hi, thank you, Blair Beekman. I figured this would be one of the last meetings of Mayor Aragwin, so I figured I'd show up and say hi and Thanks for the meeting today. A real good look in how Berkeley is addressing their unhoused issues with Governor Newsom and his recent new unhoused laws going into effect. I think we're all seeing that it's been kind of extreme what's taken place from that. And I hope that we can make adjustments with that and learn how to practice a sense of care, you know, out of a difficult situation that's happening right now. And we can develop new practices of care and to enforce laws, but do it with care. I hope we learn how to do that. It takes practice and skill to do that. We got to move fast to do that. I hope we can do it. Learn how we go. And to talk about peace and not war for Ukraine and Israel, we don't need to kill a bunch of more people to have in order to create a good dialogue for the future of Ukraine. The same with Israel. Let's work for peace and not war and how to solve our issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That completes this round of public comment on non-agenda matters, and we're happy to take comments on non-agenda matters at the conclusion of our agenda. Thank you. So now proceed to the consent calendar. And I guess I'd like to ask, we only have one item on action, which is item 7, which is a recommendation from the Peace and Justice Commission to consider naming a street after Daniel Ellsberg. I would propose that we move that to consent, but to refer to the Transportation and Infrastructure Commission. Our policy regarding the naming of city streets and city buildings requires that we ask to go to a commission first for them to consider those requests. So I personally think we should just refer it to the commission to have them consider it along with as we normally do with these naming requests. And then the commission will bring back their recommendation for council to consider at a future meeting. So I'd like to ask, is there any objection in moving item 7, the resolution to name a Berkeley Street after Daniel Ellsberg, to the consent calendar to refer that to the Transportation Infrastructure Commission? Any objection? Hearing no objection, that'll be the action. So that's on the consent calendar now. If you want to speak on that, you can speak during the public comment period for consent. And that consent calendar also includes item 6 from Councilmember Hahn, budget referral and technical support for La Pena. I know we have a number of La Pena board members and supporters here today. It's great to see you. I'm glad that we're going to be taking this action today. And this is just step one. Step two will be in November when we take up the mid-year budget. We'll consider this request at that time. But this, we're hopefully moving this forward today. Any comments on the consent calendar from council members? Press your button. Councilmember Hahn.
Excuse me. I just wanted to thank the folks from La Pena for coming. I spent quite a bit of time speaking with the executive director and the board chair, and I feel confident that the challenges that they're facing are completely unique to this moment. They reflect the very bumpy landing for at least some of our arts organizations coming out of the pandemic, and that includes people choosing to only work remotely or that doesn't work, and also some wonderful things like some babies and maternity leaves and a number of other wonderful and challenging things that have created sort of the perfect storm for this organization. They are on the brink of their 50th anniversary. They are a revered, important institution in Berkeley. And I'm very honored and appreciate council members Humbert and Bartlett in joining me in this item. I just remembered that Councilmember Luna Parra asked to join, and I would very much like to have her join the item. And so we're all really excited to support this. And we really hope this allows you to get back on your feet and have another 50 years of service, music, politicking, advocacy, and hopefulness in our community.
Councilmember Humbert.
Thank you, Your Honor. And
Your Honor.
Again, I just did it and I intended not to. I'm trained as a lawyer. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do see letters addressed to the Honorable Jesse Aragin. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you, Councilmember Han, for your comments. And I would associate myself with them about item six. I'm really proud to be a co-sponsor of this item for what is really an incredibly important and long-term cultural institution, which is now in my district. And I'm really proud of that. I'm proud that it was purloined from Councilmember Bartlett's district in the most recent redistricting. So he can't have you anymore. I've got you. But I'm really, I've known about La Peña for a long, long time, even when I lived in San Francisco for 20 years. And it's really, really an important cultural institution. Thrilled to be part of this one. And then on number seven, which is now part of the consent calendar, naming a street in the city of Berkeley in honor of Daniel Ellsberg, I did just have a few personal comments I wanted to make. I do think it needs to go through the traditional and actually prescribed process of going, getting neighborhood and resident buy-in, depending on where the street might be. I also think it probably ought not to be a major street, because that's really, really expensive, you know, to rename something like Shattuck or University or you know, San Pablo, for example, which that would be outrageously expensive. And I'm thinking of Calabagay Way, which I was part of when approving when I was on the Public Works Commission, the successor of which is now Transportation and Infrastructure. So it needs to go through that whole process. I'm a big, Ellsberg is one of my personal heroes, and he does have a connection to Berkeley. I was an anti-Vietnam War activist when I was in high school outside of Washington, D.C., and was tear gassed as part of the Sign the Treaty Now Coalition as we protested at Nixon's second inauguration. Ellsberg was an incredibly courageous mensch for publicly disclosing the Pentagon Papers after he worked directly for Robert McNamara, the Secretary of Defense. Took a lot of courage. So anyway, those are my comments, but I do support the notion that it needs to go through our traditional processes. Thank you.
Councilmember Tregub.
Thank you. I would like to associate my comments with those who've spoken. And Councilmember Han, thank you so much for taking on the work of authoring item six. La Peña is an incredible institution, and I just had the opportunity to come back there again. I can't actually remember the nature of the event, but it was full, and it was full of wonderful people, wonderful company, good food, celebration, and the opportunity to come together for another year. So I know this was a very popular item, so I missed the cutoff to be in the wanted circle of four on this item. But just wanted to, from the dais, express my utmost support, as well as support as disclosed through the budget process, for ensuring that La Peña gets this emergency funding to continue doing its good work. Thank you.
And now Councilor Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And it's sorry, and so sad to lose La Peña. You are so close to my heart. Love visiting you. And I think you'll be in good hands with Councilor Humbert. He's a very warm council member. I think you'll enjoy him. I wanted to very quickly just give a wonderful shout out to the team, the staff, for helping to work to receive the grant from HUD for the African American Holistic Resource Center. $1 million for this project. It's taken, I want to say, 14 years, 13 years to come to fruition. A new vision of healthcare, contextual healthcare for the community. Amazing. This will handle pre-construction loans, And our city that we gave, our city property we gave them will be converted, and we'll have a shining new edifice for the new realm of healthcare in the city of Berkeley. Very happy. Thank you.
And I just want to thank our Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who actually carried the earmark request for us and got this in the federal budget. This is part of the multi-million dollar investment that we've made to help build out and create the African-American Holistic Resource Center at the property on Alcatraz Avenue. So thank you, Barbara Lee. Any other questions or comments from members of the council before we take public comment? Okay, not. We will now take public comment on the consent calendar. So that's everything on the published consent calendar, which includes item 6 in support of La Peña, and item 7, the resolution to name a City Berkeley major street after Daniel Ellsberg. If you'd like to speak to an item on the consent calendar, please line up on this side of the room. And then after we go to the speakers who are here in person, we'll go to speakers on Zoom. Hi.
Minutes or?
How many people would like to speak? Show of hands. We'll do 2 minutes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, council members, mayor, vice mayor. My name is Consuelo Tuber Hernandez. I am the executive director of La Peña Cultural Center. I was born and raised in Chile and migrated to this country in 2019, searching for opportunities to develop my career as an artist, as a cultural worker, and to make a positive impact in diasporic communities who come from all kinds of backgrounds and are trying to make a home here in Berkeley, just like me. I really didn't know if I was going to be able to stay in this country after the COVID-19 lockdown, but I am so grateful that I did. La Peña is today what gives purpose to my life, and it's the source of a deep sense of belonging that I have never really felt before, not even in Chile. I'm speaking for myself right now, but I'm certain that I am not alone in this sentiment, because La Peña has been a place of meaningful community gathering, collective learning, and social transformation for 5 decades now. Every week at each and every one of our classes, workshops, special events, I can feel the fruits of years and years of insisting that true community building happens when we understand the history, the beauty, and the power of our differences as much or even more than when we rest on the things that we have in common. Every day at La Peña, for that reason, I feel hope. In these times of uncertainty and polarization, La Peña unites. It brings different people together in the quest of making this world a better place. Please know and trust that this crisis is actually temporary. It's the aftermath of how Councilmember Han mentioned, a perfect storm that hasn't allowed us to bounce back from a big investment in our building that we had to undertake last year. But once we overcome this, La Peña's future is really bright. We have managed to maintain our historic audiences while bringing new generations of artists, organizers, and art lovers into our space. And we have developed a multi-year budget that focuses on the mission, strategy, and long-term sustainability of the center. So please approve this emergency fund for La Peña. Give us the opportunity to continue to be that second home that so many of us need. Thank you.
Hi, good evening, Council and Mayor. My name is Anna Fox Hodes. I'm the current board chair at the La Peña Cultural Center. I'm a District 8 resident and a Berkeley native. As a new parent, I've mentioned this to Councilmember Han, but I'm hoping to raise my daughter in La Peña, as I was raised in La Peña by my parents and grandparents. It's a place where I know that she can connect with her Chilean roots in an intergenerational community of folks who share my family's values of social justice and solidarity, values that I know are sort of key to the character of Berkeley, but aren't able to be expressed in so many places anymore. For half a century, La Peña has been a pillar of creative expression, community organizing, and cultural resistance for immigrant and BIPOC communities in Berkeley and beyond. And its importance is deeply personal to me and to so many folks here and folks who I know have been reaching out to you all. We're asking the city's support during a time of significant financial need. But as has been mentioned, we kind of faced a confluence of a string of bad luck, a temporary string of bad luck. But I do want to stress that this is not a crisis of community engagement or of relevance. Demand for our programs is stronger than ever. Earned revenue is growing, and we're bringing in over 10,000 people, both our legacy community members, but also new generations of activists and artists and young people into the space through classes, through organizing events, through musical programs every year. The Berkeley community really needs what La Peña has to offer. So I'm confident the challenges we faced are temporary and that with support from the city, timely support from the city, we can pull through and reach a place of quickly of financial and programmatic sustainability, and that we're well positioned to survive this crisis and thrive in years ahead. So I thank you all for your consideration. And I hope that La Peña can continue to be a place where future generations can find community, share culture, and build a more just world together. Thank you.
I would like to thank you very much about Daniel Ellsberg. Daniel Ellsberg was a great man. He was a man of peace. He was attacked by Nixon, attacked by warmongers, and this is what we have today. Daniel Ellsberg also was a friend of mine. He came to the business many times. He invited me to dinner in his house in Kensington many times as well. We need more people like that. As far as, do any of you remember that MLK Street used to be called what? Grove Street. And Grove was a general in the army who have killed many people. Let's wake up. We need to put our voice. City of Peace, Berkeley. City Council of Peace, Berkeley. Let us go against the warmongers, Netanyahu, Hamas, whatever, Hezbollah, Biden. Biden is going to end up one of the worst genocidal presidents in the history of U.S. after Truman, who dropped the atom bomb in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Remind you, Israel so far dropped at least near 10 atom bombs in Gaza, and they're doing it in Lebanon. Lebanon is a beautiful country. It was called France of the Middle East. Beautiful people. Beautiful. We're all equals. We're all human beings. We have no choice. We'll come to this earth blind. We have to care about the little children. Over 40,000 children in Gaza shredded, incinerated, blown up in pieces. 2,000-pound bomb. Does Biden have any children, grandchildren? He does. How in the hell can he stand by? And his worst effect of him is that guy, Blinken. Blinken is dual Israeli American citizen, which is fine. But we had more Jews in Cairo were a part of it than they had Israel at one time. But Blinken have totally brainwashed Biden. I think Biden was brainwashed when he visited Israel on October 7, and really, October 7 was an inside job. Hamas did that for him. Your thank you very much. Sure.
No, oh. Your time is up. No,
thank
you.
I said thank
Please
you very
sit
much.
Down. Your time is up.
No, I said thank you very much. Okay. Let me say that. Okay? Let's say that. Thank you.
As I read item 5 on Southwest Berkeley, bike boulevards and Adline, I'm hoping that we're on track as far in Southwest Berkeley repairing on Adline the bike lanes that for some reason were done with the bus stop on the sidewalk where persons with disabilities, seniors that cannot stand, sit, and then there's a bike lane, and then the bus stop is in the middle of the street, which if these bike lanes were frequently used, which they're not, would really result in accidents. Regarding La Peña, very glad to hear about this. Novices from the public sometimes don't know that referral to the budget process doesn't necessarily mean that something is going to be budgeted. And so I will refer to the Commission on the Status of Women's recommendation regarding public safety for women, that one of the elements of that was the safety escorts, and it was hoped that that would be approved in the June budget process, at least for a pilot program to start that. I mean, the DBA has come up with a proposal for a pilot program, but it was tier 2. And it's not tier 1. So hopefully, as we go into November, this will be seen as important. Safety escorts to protect vulnerable persons from crime, that there would be a team of 2 escorts with persons who believe that they need that that protection, and that this will move to tier one. I've been told by Carrie Arredondo that it's looks like it's going to stay at tier two, and so it doesn't know if it's going to be funded. I hope you prioritize it. It's extremely important. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jan Thayer, and I'm pleased to be representing the La Peña Community Chorus, speaking to the council tonight. Oh, you guys are coming too. Okay. And I just want to thank everybody for supporting La Peña. My wife and I, Carol Pearson, moved here in 1984, joined the La Peña Community Chorus in 1985. We're still going strong. We're welcoming new members. We believe in the importance of La Peña Cultural Center very strongly. And you guys want to say something?
Here I am.
Okay, well, practically everything's been said much more eloquently than I can, but I'll just say I'm obviously in the La Peña Community Chorus too since 1983 plus 6 months in 81. So La Peña has definitely been a second home for me. And I just want to say again, La Peña is in my mind, you know, very unique in the community, because it's not just a venue for music and art, but so much more. It's been a place for discussion, for people to meet and feel a sense of community ever since I've been coming, which is like a long time. And but especially now, I feel like the staff at La Peña has been trying so hard to make it a safe space for everyone in the community, from all cultures, all aspects of life. And I just hope that the council will find it in their hearts to make the funding that La Peña needs happen. Thank you.
There's a bunch of us from the choir back there, and we're just going to say we're about to go there right now to rehearse. We rehearse. That's all. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Grace Morizawa, and I'm the chair of the Peace and Justice Commission. First of all, I want to thank you for moving the item to name a street in the name of Aunt Daniel Alzheimer to the consent calendar. The Western States Legal Foundation approached us to help expedite this process. We knew that it was just the beginning, and we wanted to, and I'm happy that you're moving it forward. And to me, that movement, that decision signals your recognition of Daniel Ellsberg's lifelong contribution to peace and social justice. I want to clarify something. By major street, we meant a street that students and other people will see regularly. And it doesn't have to be a long street. Though I lived on Grove Street when it became Martin Luther King. There was no problem for me as a resident, and that was even before the internet happened. So I know change can happen, but even a short street in downtown or someplace. So thank you, and I know I have more time, but can you save it for Patricia Ellsberg, who will speak in a second or two?
Absolutely. Thank you. Happy to give her as much time as needed.
Hi, Mayor Aragin, council members. My name is Jackie Cabasso. I'm the executive director of Western States Legal Foundation. On April 11th of 2023, I had the honor to stand here before the Berkeley City Council with Phyllis Olin, our board president, and Grace Morizawa, who's also on our board, to receive the proclamation declaring the week of April 24th to 30th, 2023, Daniel Ellsberg Week. We received the proclamation from Mayor Aragin on behalf of Dan, who had recently disclosed his terminal cancer diagnosis. Phyllis delivered the proclamation to Daniel and Patricia Ellsberg at their house. They were delighted to receive it. With his passing, it is only right that Berkeley name a major city street in honor of Daniel Ellsberg, his moral courage, and as a legacy for peace. Daniel Ellsberg had more friends than anyone I've ever met, and I was lucky enough to be among them. I was arrested numerous times with Dan at the Nevada test site and the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab, protesting research and development of nuclear weapons, the most deadly and lethal of all weapons of mass destruction. Dan was a world citizen and a global icon standing for nuclear disarmament, peace, truth, and justice, core Berkeley values. We were very fortunate to have him as a neighbor in Kensington and as a member of our community. The city of Berkeley rightly renamed a street after Martin Luther King Jr. For all the reasons stated in the resolution and many more, there should be no question about Berkeley naming a street after Daniel Ellsberg. And as the resolution specifies, it should be a major street. Thank you.
This is very moving. It's the first city council meeting I've been to. I'm Patricia Ellsberg. I was married to Dan for 53 years. He died a year ago, plus a couple of months, without pain, thanks to hospice, and surrounded by intimate family and love. And he died at peace, which was amazing, because he was obsessed with the nuclear issue, obsessed with doing what he could with peace. But when I asked him, do you want to keep living? He said, yes. But he said, I'm dying at peace because I feel I've done everything I could to end wars, unjust wars of intervention. And mainly his obsession was to prevent any use of nuclear weapons. And I just was down in Santa Barbara where I got the Daniel Ellsberg Lifetime Achievement Award. And I thought, you know, do I really deserve this? I mean, I completely was supportive of Dan. And then I thought, 53 years of listening about doomsday, I deserve it. And I'm very moved by some of the world comments I've heard here. One of his favorite quotes was from Thoreau, cast your whole vote, not just a piece of paper, but your whole influence. And he did that this life. He was also a brilliant intellectual. They had to make up a grade for part of his orals for his doctorate, and they made up a grade summa plus at Harvard. Not the whole thing, but just a part of his orals. He wrote a couple of books on the secrets, which was about Vietnam and the release of Pentagon Papers, and the Doomsday Machine, which I've heard a lot about. And that's a confession of a nuclear war planner. So I really think it's appropriate. We've lived in Berkeley for over 45 years. We've loved it. But as a city that hosts a major institution of education and so many other wonderful schools, that I'm naming a place for him, whether it's a major street or wherever is appropriate, I think could inspire students and could inspire all of us to cast our whole vote to influence and create a peaceful and verdant world. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for coming tonight. We're very honored by your presence. I had the fortune of meeting Dan on several occasions, and he's a brilliant man and definitely an inspiration. And my opinion is for all the reasons you stated, Berkeley should definitely name a street after him. He was deeply connected to our community, and it's important that other people know about what he stood for. And that cause continues to this day. Thank you.
Hi, Good evening, Mayor Areguin, council members. My name is Christina Azahar, and I'm joined here this evening by my daughter, Emilia Folgar. 2 months old, so I will speak briefly and quietly as she's sleeping. Just coming in to say that I am part of this, and she is part of this perfect storm that hit La Peña over these last few months. I've been with the organization as a volunteer since 2019, and professionally, I joined as advancement manager in November of 2023, where my main role was to take on fundraising, grant management, et cetera. And I've had to take a little pause from that this year. But in my professional career, I am an academic and ethnomusicologist by training. And I will just say that I hold a degree in ethnomusicology from UC Berkeley. And one of the reasons I was so excited to accept a place in that program was precisely because of places like La Peña that I knew would make this be such a beautiful community to be a part of, where there's thriving musical communities. And I hope, I hope that, like Anna, as a new mother, that my daughter and my son who's at home will continue for many, many years to benefit from the programs that La Peña brings together and offers our community. With that, I'll cede the rest of my time. Thank you.
Good evening, City Council members. My name is Ben White. I am here as a representative of Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which is a nonprofit that uses rap music as therapy for youth that was founded in Berkeley High and has been around for almost 20 years. And I had the pleasure of having my first ever showcase as a participant back in 2008 at La Peña. And now, almost 20 years later, I come here as a community events coordinator, and I can tell you there is no community partner that I would be fighting harder for than La Peña. It is more than a venue. It is a community of care. When I was doing an event there recently, I talked to a musician who saw his grandson perform, and he told me that he had witnessed three generations of music being performed at La Peña, and I hope that another three generations is able to live and thrive at La Peña. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for being here today. And before we go to speakers who are on Zoom, I'd like to ask if there's anyone else who's here in person who'd like to speak on the consent calendar. Okay, thank you. So we'll go to the speakers on Zoom. If you are on Zoom and would like to speak, please raise your virtual hand at the bottom of the Zoom screen. Blair Beekman.
Hi. Blair Beekman, I wanted to speak to consent calendar items 5, 6, and 2, and I think that's about it. Yeah, 2, 5, and 6. Good luck to conclude, you know, the efforts of war going on around the world at this time. I feel are going to affect us here at the local level. So it's important that we continue practices, I think, of openness and accountability. If we practice those things really well, it's fighting war. It's asking for peace. It's asking for open democracy. It gives everyone best practices and how to build a sustainable future and not a future of killing each other. So I think if we work towards those things, we'll be sending a really powerful, important message. So with that said, you have for items 2 and 5, there's about the future of Bay Trail extension issues for bikes and walking, safe routes, and good things. There's going to be some surveillance tech and data collection tech involved with that. The city of Davis, California has invented some really good, important surveillance tech ordinance practices for wildlife trails, really good policies that I suggest Berkeley look into that can really help yourselves in that process, because Berkeley does have a few problems in trying to be more open and clear about their ordinance issues. You've done great in building your future of a business tech society in Berkeley. Congratulations on that. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive with the future of building good tech accountability and good policies and good public participation. That's part of the future we're trying to build for Berkeley that is really important. It's important to meld and bring all those things together.
And just a good luck. And Hokkaido was a really important part of my life in being around Berkeley. Thank you. I hope we can continue. And thanks for the meeting tonight.
Okay, we'll go next to Peter Gilder, followed by Cheryl. Peter Gilder, you should not be able to speak.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Okay, actually, I'm not Peter Gilder. I'm using his computer. This is Phyllis Olin, and I'm the president of the Western States Legal Foundation. And I had the honor of actually presenting the proclamation, receiving the proclamation from the city, and presenting it to Daniel. So I just wanted to say, you know, we're at a time, certainly in our history, which is more dissentious than any time that I remember. And from what I hear from people older than I, and there aren't a lot of them, even their memory. It was interesting tonight that I was watching Democracy Now! And Julian Assange was speaking. He was given 175 years in prison, that if he did serve it. Unfortunately, he has been released. And his crime was wanting to make public atrocities that governments perpetrate. This is something that certainly resonates with what Daniel Ellsberg stood for. He believed in peace and justice and transparency and people really understanding what their governments were doing. Wait a second, I'll get it together. I think I'm talking obviously about item 7, and I thank you for putting it on the consent calendar. I think it's very important that we, in a time where we have such short historical memory, that we have reminders that we can teach future generations about the heroes of our time and what they stood for so that they won't be forgotten. So I think it's very important for that reason that we do name a street after Daniel Ellsberg. And I know that you agree. It seems to be a question of where, and I think that can be worked out, but we need to keep the memory of this heroic, wonderful man who was a very warm, wonderful man personally, as well as in the broader context. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, our last speaker on Zoom is Cheryl.
Hi, this is former council member Cheryl Davila. I just wanted to say yes to the recognition of Daniel Ellsberg, and yes to LaPena. LaPena's been a long-standing institution in Berkeley and should be continue for decades, as well as the Black Repertory Theater Group. So you need to do what you all need to do to make sure that they're all the art organizations, theaters that are catered to the BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color communities, get equal funding throughout the city. It's not fair because the pink organizations get way more money than the Black, Indigenous, or people of color organizations. And you need to make them thrive too. You know, we're in some tumultuous times, and we need to honor and respect the organizations that have made Berkeley what Berkeley is today, and honor that community and the people that their reach is very far. And we are in some tumultuous times, and we need to make sure that our elected officials are doing what the people of their city want them to do. And that's what we need. We need organizations like the Black Rep and La Pena to continue to be in Berkeley and thrive in Berkeley. And we don't need any more Zionism in Berkeley or Zionist elected officials and appointees to commissions. And Free Palestine, vote Jovanka Beckles for state senate. And thank you.
All right, thank you. No comment on that. Okay, that completes public comments. Thank you all so very much for being here today. It's great to see such an incredible community here, especially those in support of La Pena. And Councilmember Luna Parra, before we vote on the consent call.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I'm very proud to be supporting this item and grateful for how many of you came out tonight and emailed my office. As we've been talking, a member of my staff was actually sending me photos of herself when she was in a children's Chilean folk band at La Peña 20 years ago. Muchísimas gracias por todo lo que hacen y estoy tan orgullosa de poder votar para asegurarnos de que La Peña tenga los recursos que necesitan para continuar a servir nuestra comunidad por los próximos años. Muchas gracias.
Okay, I will move adoption of the consent calendar.
Second.
And that will take care of all of our business for tonight. So unless there's any further discussion, we can call the roll on the consent calendar.
Okay, Councilmember Keserwani?
Yes.
Kaplan?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Tragum?
Aye.
On?
Yes.
Wengrap?
Yes.
Luna Parra?
Yes.
Humbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Aragon?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, consent calendar is approved. Thank you. Okay. Before we adjourn the meeting, is there any public comment on non-agenda matters from somebody who's not previously spoken? Seeing none, I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
If we can please call the roll.
Councilmember Keserwani?
Yes.
Kaplan?
Yes.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Tragum?
Aye.
On?
Yes.
Wengrap?
Yes.
Luna Parra?
Yes.
Humbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Aragon?
Yes. Thank you. We're adjourned.